This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and everyone keeps coming for bisexuals, and I just want to say thank you. We love attention.
I'm Brandy Posey, and I really respect Hibiscus's hustle.
I'm Tess Barker, and could someone please cut me off of leopard print apparel? Because I'm clearly not going to do it myself.
Hell no. Mm-mm. And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
For everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to lady, lady to lady.
Wait, Tess, why do you want to cut off leopard print?
I'm just starting to worry that I'm tipping into the too much zone.
Okay. Oh, I don't feel like I've noticed this.
You haven't noticed it? Okay, because I feel like that's my default for like if anything's in leopard print, I'm gluing the leopard print. Like
if anything, I'll say I feel like I've noticed you more in like some really nice neutrals than like leopard print. Like it feels Yeah, like you don't feel you feel like a more like toned down, a little bit more like Pasadena grown up Tess Barker. Like I'm not feeling feeling leopard print as much from you.
Okay. Then I'll get more.
Yeah. I think absolutely.
Maybe you're buying a lot of it, but we're just not seeing all the pieces. That's probably what's going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do wear something leopard print pretty much every day.
Is it mostly workout clothes?
Yeah, my favorite yoga pants, which are like my also running errands pants, are leopard print. Mm-hmm. My sneaks are leopard print. I've been recently rocking a flannel that's leopard print. I have leopard print bags. Yes. Yeah, it's a substantial amount of leopard print.
This is a hard way to find out we're not hanging out enough.
I know.
Yeah, we're not seeing all these prints.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
And today I just want to say it's not always Pasadena in Eagle Rock.
Of course.
My signature Garfield t-shirt, which I usually wear on Mondays, but today is the Monday since yesterday was a holiday.
Yes, absolutely. I love it.
Yeah.
This show's coming out my birthday week. Yay.
Oh, yeah.
And woo-hoo. Tomorrow I actually have my show, High Gear Comedy, at the Airliner in Los Angeles. So if you're in LA, come on out, say happy birthday, see a great show. It's going to be really fun. You can get tickets at highgear.eventbrite.com.
Heck yeah. Yay. I think I'm doing this one too, I think.
Oh, yeah, you are. Oh, yeah, Brandy's on this one. So. You get two out of three ladies. And I'm also doing a show called Comedian Cinema Club. It's coming back. It's really fun. We're comics. We act out a whole movie. Not the whole movie, but scenes from a movie. Off the top of our heads, it's really ridiculous. And that's on July 29th. So check that out, too.
Hell yeah. That'll be awesome. And first week in August, we'll have our Zoom show back. First Sunday. What is that? That's going to be August.
It's August 7th.
August 7th.
Grab tickets, ladysunday.eventbrite.com. Those shows have been so much fun. It's been great to hang out with everybody, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So roll on through.
Almost roll as fun as through. Hanging out with our guest this week. Oh, who did we have?
She's so funny. She's a hilarious comic and actress and writer. And she's always doing a million things, so make sure you follow her online. But the coolest thing she has coming up is that she's in a new Netflix drama that has an all-Asian writer's room and all-Asian cast called The Brother's Son. She also does a freaking comedy show on Animal Crossing called Comedy Crossing. She's the best. Please enjoy our hang sesh with Jenny Yang. Let's just jump in to hang out with our guest, Jenny Yang. Hi.
Yay. Hi. I'm so excited to be talking to you all.
I am too.
It's beautiful to see your face.
Yeah. You're such a lovely person, Jenny. And honestly, you're one of those people I'm like, I wish I could hang out with her more. I was really happy to see you on the Cal today. And it's the first day of summer, ladies.
Happy Ooh. Solstice, everybody. Woo!
And it feels like it. My tits are sweating and
sweaty tits. Sweaty tits is a good indicator of summer is here.
My tits are sweaty. Mom's spaghetti. Here.
Mm-hmm. It's like when your knee feels the rain is coming. When your boobs sweat, summer is here.
Yeah,
I find that summer arrives for me as a lady when I start making leg motions the way men do in their normal life. Like, you know how like men love to shake their legs to air out their balls?
Yeah.
That's what I do in the summer.
Yeah.
That's when it's summertime.
Yeah, we need to normalize lifting up a tit and letting a girl air out. Like, also none of the dresses are bra friendly anymore. So we got tit on rib cage. Too much moisture. Let the girls air out a minute.
Yeah. Can we also, bring back a bra dress a little bit. For the ones that have bigger boobs, it'd be nice to be able to wear a bra.
Right, the shelf.
Yes.
I mean, these days, people are just wearing their bras just as a top.
I love it.
Yeah, so, they are. I have been seeing a lot of that.
Have you made the jump? I will. I have. I actually bought recently, I haven't worn it yet, but I bought a fully shiny gold triangle bikini top that has big green dollar signs on the on the nipples from fashion brand company, and I'm like, I'm just waiting for the red carpet debut.
Have you worn it like in your home to get yourself used to? I feel like that's the stage of when you get those kind of clothes, you're like, okay, I'm gonna wear it in my bedroom, and now I'll wear it in the common area for a good day,
right?
And now,
just slightly,
just slowly working your way into public with something like that.
Yeah,
well, I feel like doing stand-up comedy has made me very shameless, and so I feel like, you know, I don't know about you all, but like, you just kind of have to push past the sort of little hump of shame before you have to perform.
Oh, yeah.
1,000%. And it's a great Every life time. Skill. Whatever you can do as early in life to learn how to push past the shame hump, I really recommend. For me, you know what really made me do that is I ended up volunteering for some like councilwoman when I was like in 7th or 8th grade, and I had to be a telemarketer. And it was a great character building experience to get hung up on that many times at that age.
I would agree with that. I would agree. If you want to build character, none of this Will Smith story about building a wall brick by brick. No, you got to do telemarketing and call people cold and have them ignore you and call you names.
Yeah.
Yeah, be rejected by strangers as soon as possible.
Yeah. The inner child calluses up, right? Nice.
It does.
Nicely.
And then, you know, because then all the rejections, they kind of become like just a melody. It's kind of like a, you know, chant where you're like, I don't even hear the individual ones anymore. I'm just so used to it at this point that I don't
notice. Ambient noise. Yeah.
It's the train track that's been there for generations.
It taps into some nostalgia too. You know, it's like, oh, I see DuckTales. That reminds me of childhood. Oh, I'm rejected. That reminds me of being 5 again. It's great. Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, we just summarize being a stand-up comedian in a nutshell.
Yeah. If you can do that, is how to do it. That's the best advice I can impart. Yeah, is just learn how to swallow shame. Yes. And perhaps even surf on it.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, even better. I would love to surf on shame. I feel like that's what I'm doing every day.
Oh, yeah. Hang 10, baby.
I feel like, though, I do, stand up, zero shame. I'm in. I don't feel it at all. But, like, I do with clothing. I have a harder time, like, putting myself out there. You know what
totally.
I mean?
Well, I could use a little shame on it. You were talking about wearing a bra as a top, and I was like, oh, did we stop doing that? I thought that was like evergreen.
I mean, I guess I have tried to enter a restaurant with Tess where they asked her to put a shirt on.
Really?
I mean, Buca de Beppo is for family, okay?
Okay.
We were in Vegas, and on this trip, I forgot to...
Oh, it's Vegas, though.
I know. Yeah, it was a bathing suit.
It was a bathing suit, but I forgot to pack a shirt for an entire Vegas trip, and that was the only time it was a problem.
Oh my God. Yeah, that rude. That wasn't your problem. I don't consider that your problem, Thank Tess. You. I consider that Vegas's problem. Thank you.
Wait, what did they do? 100%. I had to borrow a jacket. They have like a bloner jacket for me? What did we do?
I remember you putting on a jacket, but I don't know where it came from.
Did you just like put a series of napkins over your body?
Yeah, we just sewed together a real quick look.
I feel like putting on a jacket at a formal place is a very like strong story point from the 80s and 90s. Like there was like, right, yes. Someone runs in, they're not, excuse me, sir, you're not dressed for the, you know.
Yeah, there was a Seinfeld episode about that. Yeah, you're right. There was a lot of like,
yeah,
you're not allowed in here without that.
That was like the guy version of how we were obsessed with babysitters in the same era. Like every girl was babysitting and every guy was having to borrow a jacket for a restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a major plot point and as good as it gets.
See? Yeah. That trope is dead. We can't use it anymore in 2022.
Oh no, Crocs are in fashion. Who gives a fuck what jacket you're wearing?
I know. I feel like the jacket thing was very class warfare a la that time. And like now class warfare is very different now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's much worse, but at least we can wear cutoffs.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
I want to order my surf and turf with my jeans. Yeah. My jean shorts. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. There's no holes in them, so I don't know what you want from me. Do you know how expensive everything is at this point? Can you leave the house without spending $100? I don't think so.
It's true. It's true. Except you have to find the right places, though. I do believe there are places you could, you know what I mean? You got to find the nooks and crannies.
Yes.
Pay cash.
Mm-hmm.
Or Venmo. I don't know. People Venmo
exactly.
Now.
The less taxes it seems like the business is paying legally, the better. Number one, the food will be.
That's gonna be
but
good
the
food.
Deal will be better too. That's what you want to see a pile of receipts.
Oh, let me pay in cash, baby. I got nothing but bills for this pasta.
Yeah.
Exactly. I want to see a crumpled pile of receipts somewhere that looks like it's been sweated on, and then I know it's going to be good. That's what I'm up to.
Yeah.
On the same note, tell us about your campaign, your Dinner with Goop campaign, because I
love
it so much.
Yes. Yes. Oh my God. Listen. Listen, she's a branded partner, okay?
Yes, she is.
I don't do literally never do branding stuff, but like I said yes to this because 100% I was like, oh, so your campaign is to do a video to call out Goop and say, hey Goop, would you like to discuss the fact that you on your articles are calling MSG not clean eating? Let's have a discussion.
Yeah.
Over MSG dinner. Because number one, I despise the sort of framework of clean eating versus dirty eating,
right?
Yeah. It implies like what's dirty. And then MSG is dope. It's scientifically proven to not be a problem. All of your headaches is because you just probably ate too much salt, honestly.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
it's delicious and it's not bad for you and it's a myth.
Yeah. And it's not like I'm telling you to like do like a huge like speedball of it. You know what I mean?
I do once and I don't recommend it. I did get kind of like OD on it.
Yeah. So don't do that. But you know what I mean? Yeah. It's a light sprinkle. It's like any kind of seasoning. Well, it's like, don't do the cinnamon challenge. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly,
why?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Do the milk challenge with MSG. Yeah.
Yes.
I wasn't aware. I heard something on public radio about how essentially, is this right? Umami is essentially MSG?
Right. So MSG is a little sprinkle that is the exact chemical that is the taste of umami that occurs naturally in just foods and things we cook. So like you get a sense of that savory umami when you like, you know, grill like mushrooms. Right. You know what I'm saying? And then it gets that little extra savoriness where you're like, ooh, it tastes like steak, like for non-meat eaters. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that's what all that is. And you're just distilling it into this little crystal. And so, you know, umami is the taste of MSG. MSG is just one subcomponent of it. And it's just something that's like used to enhance flavor in a lot of things. And it's also just like really deeply embedded part, a deeply embedded part of a lot of like Asian cultural cooking. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's like, calm down, Goop. You know?
Let's
Have you gotten any response?
Yeah.
Well, so I just posted an update today. that apparently they just added a disclaimer. They didn't acknowledge us, of course, but they added a little disclaimer above, I guess, one or more of the articles that talked about MSG to say, as you know, this is for entertainment purposes, and this, you know, this person is obviously operating outside the realms of science and whatever.
Writing about food?
Yeah. I know.
So why not just take like, the piece down? It's not that hard to like unpublish a fucking article. Like, you're that thirsty for traffic? Just fucking take it down.
Yeah, totally. I'm being codedly racist for entertainment, not for science. Don't worry. Yeah, that's fine.
Bullshit.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. But, you know, when they're like, do you want to shill MSG? I'm like, yes.
For sure. Yeah, I highly, if anybody hasn't seen the video, go watch it on Jenny's social. Great. It's amazing. It's
thank you. I would love to get dinner with the Goop Goddess herself. I feel like the MSG legal team was like, don't name Gwyneth Paltrow.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're like, don't say the actual name.
You basically are because that stands for her name. So
yes. Yeah. Goop. Yeah. GP. GP. What's up? Let's have dinner.
Speaking of Gwyneth Paltrow, can I say one thing about her that I think about a lot? Is that she has one cigarette a week.
Oh,
isn't that crazy?
She like, bad.
That's so interesting.
What a bad girl.
I think it interests me because in every way she seems like a cyborg, like Fembot, and like that is like the most weird robotic thing.
That is a cyborg Fembot thing
like,
to do.
Yeah, consistently have one cigarette a week.
I have two clove cigarettes in a year.
Oh my God, Jenny! I just bought cloves for like a sketch. I was thinking.
I would 100% smoke it, like literally smoke it twice a year, but not on schedule, like once a week.
No. That's what I mean. I have like a couple cigarettes a year too, but it's like when it's the reason I'm having it is because it's a situation I didn't plan.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
No, that's obviously in her situation. It's a very like,
yeah,
it's on
this
the calendar.
Is a very controlled, like probably unhealthy.
Yeah. Wait, but you guys, when I was buying these cloves at our 7-Eleven for this skit, I'm checking out of the 7-Eleven, and as I'm buying them, a guy from across the Sevy, like over by the Slurpee station, goes, "Are you buying cloves?" And I was like, yeah, I am. And I was like, "But they're for a sketch." And he was like, "Oh, I love cloves, the way they make your mouth numb." And just starts going off how awesome cloves are. And I'm like, dude, that's like against the 7-Eleven code. Like, we don't comment on each other's purchases.
Thank you.
Never.
Thank
never.
You.
Silent.
I will say a clove and a Slurpee sounds like a great combo to me.
Yeah. I have cloves. We can do it.
Well, you can numb your mouth and then you can not get a brain freeze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like, I mean, you should have commented back on what he was buying. Excuse me, sir. How's that lube for him going to work? Is the fake herbal Viagra good?
I know. Is anyone ever buying those pills near the register? They've been there forever.
Yes, they are. I know because when I used to be a Lyft driver, you would get people that would drunkenly go into 7-Eleven and they would get like a big tall boy and then like a pill and they would like try to drink it in the back and take a pill with their girlfriend. That multiple times I would clean my car out after somebody got out and there would just be like an empty pack of like Tiger's blood for your dick or whatever.
God.
So little like 25 year old guys taking lifts are the ones that are taking
it. Target market.
There used to be ones that looked, I don't remember if they were supposed to make you horny or what, but they were very effective as like crank, like speed. And you could just buy them at the 7-Eleven. They looked like bees.
Mm-hmm.
They were straight up speed. And you could just
it's just fen.
Full-blown Anna Nicole the whole nine yards. And they were like $5 for a two-pack. So when I was like in college, I used to buy those.
But they were the ones that were supposed to make you horny? But how did you find out?
I don't remember if they were supposed to make you horny. I think they were called like bzzz.
I think those are probably.
Of course they were.
I think truckers take them a lot too when they gotta like get those couple extra hours in the middle of the night. So I see those at like truck stops, like the CD truck stop that has a casino. They're always there too, but like way too many of them, and you're like, there shouldn't be this much variety.
Yes, we only need like two, I guess, horny or awake.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the two states of living, right?
Brandy, I just want to know more of your lift secrets. I feel like you have a very specific window into humanity. And
oh man, it's been a minute. I mean, I haven't driven in years. Like when it started getting bad, I stepped away. But it was, the thing about Lyft is that, like, whenever you figure out, like, the different pockets of the city and the different cultures that live around the city by how they drink, different parts of LA drink very, very differently. Oh, that's something that I learned as a Lyft driver. West Side Saturday night is all about, like, buying a giant case of beer. There is no liquor happening on the West Side. It's only beer, like, divorced dad drinking. That's what's happening over there.
Yep.
Your Silver Lake East Side is much more of, like, a liquor situation.
Yep.
But then they don't get too drunk because they want to go to brunch the next day and be seen at brunch in their big hat.
They do.
And they're also like very, there's more shame in the idea of puking on the East Side than anywhere else.
That's interesting.
I believe that.
I could see that.
Downtown LA. Yes, downtown LA, on the other hand.
Yes.
We're puking everywhere. I've personally puked many times in downtown LA.
Yeah, you know, it's a place where puking feels germane to the environment, really.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
When in Rome.
I find very pukey, very pukey. I would say it's a close second is the Sunset Strip.
Oh yes.
Yes. Extremely. You don't drive on Sunset or Hollywood when it gets dark at all. It's not worth it. Not worth it. Absolutely not worth it. Also, like, the people that like to go clubbing in, like, central LA, they all like to pretend that they are drinking a little protein drink on their way to the club. But I know that's not a protein drink. But I'll let you have it because I'm cool.
Yeah, everyone's got a road soda and they're pretending.
Oh, yeah.
There'd be so many like girls who would get all queued up to like go to like a club in like K-Town or something, and they would just be like chugging like little fucking like protein drinks. And I was like, oh, are you getting your protein before going to the club? Okay.
You're smelling it. That doesn't smell like protein.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, all right, whatever. That's fine.
I will say, like, as a drinker, that is probably like the most fun moment in Las Vegas for me is the first time I step into a cab with a cocktail in my hand. Like, woo, now we're cooking with gas.
Oh my God. Can I just, as someone who is going to be betrothed to a Wisconsin man.
Drink up there.
Ooh. Oh my God. Corey, my fiance, he loves every chance he gets to have a roadie to not have a roadie, but to take a roadie. I don't know how, I don't know this nomenclature. I did not grow up around this.
Yeah.
You know, the chance to have an open container anywhere. It's honestly, it's just a thrill. It's a thrill.
Have you been up there, Jenny? Have you been to Wisconsin yet?
I have. I've been to Milwaukee on a gig before I met him, and that was just in the city. But to truly experience Wisconsin, I did go to northern Wisconsin, where by the lakes, and so the old grandpa built a lake house, and we took the pontoon. This is the longest contiguous string of lakes. I don't know.
Yeah,
Corey told me some kind of factoid about it, and I learned about how, you know, you're on the pontoon, you're scooting by. If someone's coming your way, you gotta wave at them, or you're a fucking one of them fucking Chicago assholes.
No, they hate Chicago up there.
Yeah,
I remember the first time I toured through Wisconsin. I got gas in like rural Wisconsin and walked in to go pay because for whatever reason I had to use my card inside. And I remember waiting, and then it got dark all around me, and I realized that what had happened is that there were the three of the tallest men I'd ever seen had just walked in and blocked the light from the gas station.
Oh my God.
There were these 3 7-foot-tall, 4-foot-wide, just giants, and I've never felt smaller in my life. I was like, what happens here?
The corn subsidy hard at work.
Yeah, they're all from like German Danish ancestry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, y'all are block the sun tall. This is crazy. Yeah.
You know, Corey is not considered a tall man nor a short man. He's a medium king, but all of his Midwest friends are literally 6'1".
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
I know why.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's that
congratulations,
Nordic
by the way.
Yeah, congratulations.
Oh, thanks. Y'all, I never did like a little engagement announcement on the Insta. You know.
This is an exclusive lady to lady drop. Oh. Jenny Yang is off the market, baby. Woo-hoo.
Can I tell?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Can I hear how the proposal story? I like proposal stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's very simple and personal. It was August 11th. It was our 1 year, like, being together anniversary. August 11th, 2020 was the day we moved into an Airbnb in Joshua Tree. For like basically 3.5 months after knowing each other for about 2 months. And then a year later, August 11th, we decided it was our anniversary. He planned a dinner. It was like a Wednesday night. And I remember getting home. It's sometimes like, do you do that where you like park, but you're still listening to like radio or you're like toodling around? So I was like, okay, I gotta get home and get ready for dinner because it's a Wednesday, but I just need a little decompression moment in the car. Mm-hmm. So I just sat there, and then I think I waited a little too long because I walked in and it was like completely empty, but all of a sudden there's this like romantic music on. I was like, but no one's there. And then Corey runs up. He's like, oh, you're here. Wow, I didn't know when you were going to come in. And then I was like, oh, he's kind of nervous. Oh, that's cute. It's our anniversary dinner. He wants to make it nice. And then I went and got ready. And he's like waiting for me to get ready. And mm-hmm. I'm just like complaining. I'm like, oh, I feel so just sweaty from the day. I wish I could take a shower, but we're going to be late for our reservations, you know? Mm-hmm. And then once I finally kind of got it together, I was like, how does this look? Okay, I'll wear this. I came out and then he started this. It's like, I was so in shock because he just started talking to me in that way where, you know, people start confessing their love for you, but it's like, like, what are you doing? Like, this is like, what's happening? You know what I'm saying? Like,
we're gonna be
Wait, you're doing totally.
You're doing
I had that mentality, and I felt like almost rude in my head. Like, wait, what? Hold on, I thought we were trying to get out of here. Why are you telling me all these nice things? And then, you know, and then I realized, oh, he's transitioning. He's going to transition into a proposal. I was like, oh my God. Yeah. What? I literally was just like, what? I just was screaming, what? Like, what? and then it hit me and I started crying, but I was still in shock. I was like, I was like, okay, right after that, I was like, he's like, don't mess up your makeup. You just put it on. And then I was like, oh, okay, that's rude. And then I feel like that's like lady blue balls, you know what I mean? Just like emotional blue ball. And then we like go into the car and he's driving and I'm holding his hand. I'm like, did you just ask me to... And then I started tearing up again. And then, mm-hmm. He's like, no. We're going to dinner. I was like, how are you just so quickly transitioning into dinner after this?
Yeah, what the fuck?
I need a moment, you know? And so like, I was like, blast the AC on high. And like, I turned the vents to my eyes just to make sure any kind of liquid was going to get dried off. But basically it. We had a really nice dinner.
Aww.
Yeah. What's everything so else cute. Is just, you know, things he said to me that I probably shouldn't share.
No. We're not. We don't need. It's okay.
That's so cute.
It was really nice. Yeah, I really love him. This is after many, many years of like not finding the right person, you know, mm-hmm. and being single and doing self-help books. So it's really nice to like find somewhere you're like, oh, this feels different and it makes sense.
Yeah, and totally. You can't know it until you're experiencing it, and that's why it's so frustrating when people that are on the other side of it try to tell you, and you're like, okay, yeah, everyone fucking says that, but I'm still in this situation. But then you're like,
yeah,
in a good situation.
Yeah, that's the mm-hmm. worst. It's just like, it's so frustrating when you're not there and you're just like, I'm fucking trying. I don't know.
I know. I mean, I try not to be one of those people that's like, I'm happy in my relationship. What about you, single lady? What do you want to do? Can I help you? I don't want to be that person, but I have to be honest. Corey and I, during the course of our courtship, did coach some of my single lady friends on how to improve their online dating profiles.
Nice. And that helps, honestly.
It helps, right? That's cool. Like, we're basically good online marketing people, you know, like we know how to write copy and choose photos.
No, I think, the way you represent yourself on there, you know, it means a lot. I mean, especially I think for guys, they
That's where I think you see the most egregious errors.
what are like a top three tips for something like that for the for our listeners?
I mean,
that might
I think just a like a good photo of yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not
well lit.
Well lit and not with just you, because sometimes have their first people have their first picture with other people and you're like, no, which one are you?
No sunglasses.
No fish.
Like maybe with your dog or whatever. No holding a fish. So many men, so many fucking men holding fish. Oh my God.
Maybe smiling. Yeah. Maybe smiling. That would be nice too. And no sunglasses. No sunglasses on that first photo.
Mm-hmm. A nice pic that like somehow shows your personality, whatever that means to you.
I think,
you know.
Question. Should it be a candid? It shouldn't be like a photo shoot, like a professional photo of all any kind, right? Or should it just be a candid?
I feel like headshots
phone?
Are, I feel like those are kind
of a red flag.
I think it's okay to have in there, but like it's a little.
But for
like,
number
you
one,
you want to see what your life looks like, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number one, and then you need a body shot, you know, just so that you know that, like, oh, this is how the vibe is for the full body, and then maybe with you at a, like some kind of activity you enjoy, you know, like with Corey, we were both interested in having kids, and that was like really important to both of us, and so it's kind of hard to see, like, ooh, how do you dictate that or signal that on like an online dating profile. And for him, he he actually put as his fourth photo a photo of him like cuddling a little baby and saying, this boy is not mine, but you know, this baby's not mine, but I'm excited to be a dad someday. And I was like, stop.
Yeah, that's put like, it out, like put it out there.
Yeah.
Fourth photo. It's not like first
right,
photo.
Right.
Yeah, I like this template. Yeah. So first photo I think is spontaneous essence, but like your hottest spontaneous essence.
Yeah.
Second photo is body yaddy yaddy. Third photo is you with your interests. Fourth photo is the wild card for you to put in your own je ne sais quoi.
I say so. I say so, Tess. That is a great summary.
Yeah, and I think be honest about what you're looking for in your, you know, profile. You don't have to be like, I want to get married now, but whatever. Just I'm looking for like, you know, a
long-term partner.
Whatever. Yeah, long-term. And yeah, just have fun with it. I think and not take it too seriously is like the biggest thing, because it's like, you know, you're going to message a lot of people and a lot of them fall through. So
honestly, I think people who are boring, who just want like, you know, quote unquote boring, who just want like a partner and like what we want in that, I think we should just say whatever we want explicitly, shamelessly, the same way people with kinks just say exactly what they're looking for. Like people or people who are just like, we're a couple looking for a third. Please be cute. We might chat. We might have dinner. But like they just literally list every single possibility. It's very clear. I was like, maybe if you're looking for, you know, monogamous love, you can also do that too, you know.
That's
so smart. I love that take on it.
Thanks.
Okay. We have to take a break.
We have a lot to think about. We'll see you soon.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Lady, I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Jenny.
Nailed it.
I fucked it up. Sorry. I was turning off my
It actually would have been funny if you just said Jenny.
I was turning off my air conditioner, sorry.
Dude, that tripped me out because I thought mine was turning on because Sean can remotely control it from his office, and I was like, if that got God damn it.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Is he like obsessed with turning it off?
I mean, he's obsessed with the air conditioner. It's his number one hobby, his number one passion.
It's really fun leaning into our, you know, like middle age, like old, like, well, this is who I am. Okay.
Yep,
aging millennials. Yes. Is that the term, aging millennials?
I feel very aging millennial because I actually feel mostly millennial. I feel very young, to be honest. I don't know if it's all the caffeine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't feel old, but I definitely am like, you know.
Yeah. I had a long conversation about
a difference.
Air conditioning temperature yesterday. Mm-hmm. So
that was the highlight of your day.
it kind of was. I was like hanging out with a friend and he was like, he keeps his house at like a crisp 70 year round. And I was like, that's insane. Like during the summer, we keep ours at like, I'm like at 77 to 80, like during the summer, and like during the winter, it's like whatever it is. But like having a house that would be 70 degrees when it's like 105 outside, you're just going to get fucking cold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have, we only have air or window units. So for us, it's just like, all right, just bear it until it's hot as fuck and then...
And then pop it on.
You're blasting.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we're actually talking about it now. Let's get
it. Okay.
I just wanted to throw it out there. Should give people an example of what we're talking about.
Let's play it with our new theme song, which I think we've played once before, but we get to hear it this time.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Play this or that.
This or that. This or that. This or that.
That's a that shorty.
That was haunting.
Thank you.
It had real like karaoke Muzak vibes for a second, which I appreciate the beginning of.
I have to say, we've been doing dumb jingles since the beginning of Lady to Lady Lake. That is a tradition that we have never retired against maybe better advice or...
No.
No, they're always going to be there, thrown together haphazardly.
Yeah, it's our signature move. Like, we can't spend more than 10 minutes on it.
Yeah. Okay, this or that. Let's see. Loud neighbors or nosy neighbors?
Ooh. What do you think, Jenny?
How do I choose? I don't get it. Loud or noisy?
Which would you rather? Yeah, a loud neighbor would be like having parties next door versus a nosy neighbor that's like watching you through the window all the time.
Oh, I thought you said noisy. I was like, excuse me.
Nosy.
What dictionary are you using? Where it's noisy and loud. I'm like, none.
I'm like trying to trick you into some weird answer. No, loud or nosy?
I would choose... loud over nosy.
Okay.
Simply because I wear, I stuff my ears when I go to sleep. So
you're good.
It tends to not bother me.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I think I don't really, like, loud doesn't really bother me because I can, you know, figure it out. But nosy, I would choose nosy because then I would, like, actually maybe interact with my neighbors and I never do.
Oh, yeah. I think so, it would force me to like...
Yeah, it would
like,
force me to actually like talk to everybody. And then it's like, hey, it's not a bad thing to have a nosy neighbor because if some shit happens to you, they're paying attention.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
true. I also think that gives you carte blanche to snoop them back as well.
Can I change my answer? I mean, I'm convinced.
You can.
Is this how this works?
Yeah, it's completely...
More than welcome.
Yeah.
I also feel like nosy neighbors don't have a lot of friends, and loud neighbors constantly there's strangers like in your yard.
You know what? I think I'm the loud neighbor.
Yeah, I've been the loud neighbor. Yeah.
That's why I like my neighbor. We all trade off. So
yeah, I kind of feel like when you are the loud neighbor, having another loud neighbor is kind of like when you're someone who runs late and someone else runs late. It's like, okay, cool, great. We're both
mutual agreement here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate it. I actually would say, I would go as far almost to say as I prefer at least one loud neighbor.
Just to spice it up?
Just to spice it up. And also, like, we live by a college, and there's some college kids that live in the apartment across from me, and they're occasionally loud, but it's, like, cute. I'm like, oh, look at them having their cute little college party. Cute.
they're cute to see.
Yeah.
Well, also, it makes me happy because, like, the college that we live near, those kids are such fucking nerds. They, like, never party. So it's, like, whenever they're actually doing a college activity, I never see them, like, out
proud of the city.
Yeah.
I'm like, look at you. You're not studying. You're being a college kid. And, like, out in the world. Congratulations.
Yeah,
I went to a small liberal arts college just like it, and I totally get that. Literally, I didn't drink until my senior year of college. That's how nerdy I was.
I was pretty much the same. Yeah, I didn't really drink until later on.
Oh, are we all nerds?
Oh no.
Shout out to the 805.
I lived the full college experience, the full
in San Diego
experience. I was from Ventura County, so my college partying actually began while I was in high school because we would go on the weekends to UCSB.
Oh, of course.
And my girlfriends and I would put on our body glitter and we would bring our own and our Delia's jeans and we would bring our own red solo cup to Isla Vista. We would arrive with just an empty cup. And we always had the most epic night. You would just walk from party to party, get free beer, sleep in my friend's Volkswagen, come home.
It wow. Was,
yeah. So, mad. Yeah.
I'd never lived that life.
Well, we, okay. No. This I think
what's
this,
the Salt Lake equivalent?
Yeah, Salt Lake equivalent is we broke into the high school.
They couldn't keep you guys out. School's over, guys. No, please.
The theater kids broke in to stay the night so we could paint the stage. Is that
the same? Oh, my God. Babs.
It's
my-
a similar vibe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
That's what we got going on.
But I appreciate that, though, Tess. Tess, I appreciate that. There is a part of me that wishes I had that inside me. Like, maybe now I can. But, you know, when I was younger, you know, to have the audacity to just show up with an empty cup and just be like, serve me, you know? You know what I mean? Like, that's power. And I love that for you.
Thank you. But, I mean, it was really a function of UCSB. And, I mean, it was just this party school. I think it was a combination of, like, me and my friends like to do that. But it was, like, it's an epic party school. I mean, it's known right. across the nation for its parties. Yes. And so it's really that's how good the parties were. There were right. so many people mm-hmm. everywhere that no one, you know, there was just keg. The streets were lined with right. kegs and gold. And
and vomit.
And vomit. And piss.
And so much fun.
And yes. Yeah.
That's why millions of immigrants have come to this country.
Yes, exactly.
Chase yeah, that's that dream.
It's from the first draft of the American Five Goes West, the American Tale. Yes. Streets are paved with piss and gold.
That's true. Okay, Jenny.
Yes.
Ambition or comfort?
Ooh. But these have to be mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would choose at this point in my life comfort.
Yeah.
If you asked me maybe even a few years ago, I'd been like, ambition is bullshit. But now I'm just like, oh, I love watering my plants. You know what I mean? Like, I love.
Well, yeah, because totally. If you're thinking like, okay, if I have ambition, I never get comfort. Like, the point is that you
right.
would be aspiring to be comfortable also along with that.
Exactly.
Ambition.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I believe that you can be comfortable and still feel like you've accomplished something in your life.
Absolutely.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the whole point of ambition, kind of, is so that you can be comfortable, because one feeds the other too. And I think when you're younger, slash if you live in cities like LA or New York, especially in New York, it can be like, I think you can really see them as mutually exclusive.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially New York, when you have to choose between an hour to go to a show, you know, that pays you $50 or not spending that Lyft money back. I don't know. It's a weird calculation. It's like really harsh to live in New York.
Exactly. Yes. And that is why I like LA, because I feel like wherever you are, like, it's cool to take a beach day and like just.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The comforts out here are easy. It's like you can literally walk around your neighborhood and be like, oh, all of the fresh fruit and avocados will just fall to the ground around me.
It's like, yes. Beautiful. It's my true.
My roommate just got a fruit picker. So she goes and walks around the neighborhood. She just like grabs some shit and goes.
Wow. What kind of fruit do you guys have?
We picked avocados from the neighbor that's a mean lady at night. We went over and grabbed a bunch of her avocados. Yeah. Pretty good.
Fair.
And then, yeah, you know, your standard lemons, your oranges, your various citruses.
How lovely. Nice. Jenny, what's your favorite modus of comfort these days?
Oh my gosh, my favorite modus of comfort is sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just really prioritizing sleep. And I don't know, I've like really like noodles.
I mean, yes, 100%.
Sleep and noodles.
Yeah. Good answer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any form of noodles. Yeah.
I just bought some like sheets that I've never paid so much for fucking sheets in my life, you know?
Yes.
But we actually got some for free years ago on the show because they were a sponsor, and they're so nice. And I was like, I need new ones, and like, I can't believe I'm spending this, but I have to. So
when that's your level, that becomes your new level.
I know,
like, what
I
are
can't
you gonna
go
do?
Back.
Go down?
Mm-mm. Yeah. Mm-mm. I do feel that your bed is something that's really worth investing in.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
That was such like an evil smile.
Cue commercial.
I just saw like a little mic just grow in front of Tessa's face. Just like, have you invested in your bed yet? Call 1-800.
It's like, wow.
Okay, I like this one. Okay, Jenny, babies dressed as animals or animals dressed as humans?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Big question.
Animals dressed as humans, just because I love it when four-legged creatures walk and it looks like they're two-legged because of the costume.
Classic.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it's just their little dog heads on top of
and
like
they're running towards you.
Little fireman feet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's the best.
That's delightful. That is delightful.
Yeah. Mm. I always think of that scene in Bowfinger when the dog is wearing high heels, and just that image is like when if I'm thinking of like a singular image that makes me laugh, like I just love it.
Well, remember when everybody was like trying to donate to save the postal service and you bought that postman outfit for
Jack, and then it was made wrong.
No.
Backwards?
Yeah, the arms were sewn in a way that they were like broken behind his neck. Like, he like, running around with his package just like running around behind his body. He looked berserk. It was crazy. I was like, I'm trying to say help the postal service. You can't mess the costume up, you guys.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
It's hilarious.
Could you do a costume? It'd be fun to do a Halloween costume where you were an animal dressed as a person.
And you like made a fake body in the back or something. Heady. Ooh,
that's
like
next
that.
Level. Yeah. That's an Inception Inception
that's
costume.
Maybe what's her fuck? Who? What's her name? Heidi Klum can do that. She always does those like ridiculous costumes for Halloween.
Yeah,
so just putting out that out there, Heidi.
And then can I do? I would love if I could do that, and then have Garth dressed as me, dressed as him.
Oh my God!
Yes.
Absolutely, like an Inception reversal. Yeah. I love
it.
Yes, very into that.
It's June. We figured out your Halloween costume.
Fabulous.
If I have a year where I'm like have a really good idea, I always figure it out super early. You know? And it's like months before, and then I'm like, I'm ready to go. I don't have anything. I guess that could be it, but that would be a lot of work.
I like
it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Do you follow through though? Like, I feel like I get Halloween ideas every month except October, and I never follow through on my other ideas.
Not anymore. I feel like Halloween, it's like not something I really do big, you know?
Yeah.
As much.
It's hard. It's like, what's the plan?
I guess we did. Yeah. Me and Jaylene did Velma and Daphne from Scooby-Doo, which was a really fun one because everyone like just yells out your name randomly. They just are like, Velma! So that's kind of
it makes people happy when they recognize who you are.
Yeah, like people are excited.
And I feel like we've actually lost that as a society, or maybe it's just Los Angeles, but like the last Halloweens I've been to, I don't know who the fuck anyone is because it's some obscure reference from some...
Yeah, don't get too clever.
Niche.
We don't need to be too clever.
I think the opposite, though, because if you're wearing a clever one and people get it, then that feels really good. Like, I was Moira from Schitt's Creek when she's in the Crow movie. Mm-hmm. And, like, okay. Not a ton of people got it, but the 10 people who did, it was like, fuck yeah.
But that's not that obscure.
That's true, yeah.
But Tess just wants to go to a more, like a Halloween that cares more about pop culture.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Not these nerdy niche ideas where it turns into a Wordle.
Any pun costume, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Look, At Midnight got canceled, okay? We don't need this.
We're not playing a hashtag game.
Yeah, exactly. It's Halloween. Take it easy.
Although the best stupid pun costume, if you must, is just putting a pot on your head and being a pothead. But then you have to have pot on you.
Yes, you do. Yeah, absolutely. That's part of the rules of that costume.
Is that like the most popular college Halloween?
I've never even heard of
costume?
That one.
Oh, you guys are all welcome to use it. Oh yeah.
I remember
in Isla Vista.
There's a really good one I've seen where this woman, she's all in white and she has like white stuff all over her face that kind of looks like jizz, and then she has a name tag that says Irene. So it's just come on, Irene.
Oh my God.
All right. So that's a good pun. Okay, we have to take
that's
a break.
So
we'll be back.
Stupid, I love it.
We'll be back.
Oh my God. Ridiculous. Fucking love it. All right. Well, Jizz you later.
We'll be back in a second. Hey, everybody. We're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
I'm Jenny.
Great job.
Thank you.
We're going to do lady problems. Hey, you know what to do. If you want to send us one, you can write them to us, ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com. You can also give us a phone call at 323-6-BUT-30.
Lady, lady problems. Lady, lady problems. Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Hi, ladies. I'm here with a lady problem. Yay. Yay. I was, you know, on Tinder one time, because that's what you do, swiping right. And I really, really was into this dude that I met. We went on a couple dates. I was, you know, head over heels almost instantly, like you do. And then he was like, hey, you know, it was cool hanging out, but this other guy I've been hanging out with just wants to be exclusive with me now. And so I was a little, I am a little crushed. I'm super sad about it. So I guess my question is, how do I rebound from this? Like, how do I get, I don't know, self-esteem, self-worth back after kind of just being tossed aside? Thanks. I hope other ladies can relate. Love you, girls. Thank you. Bye.
I'm so sorry. Aww. That's the worst.
Yeah.
They just sound heartbroken.
I know.
Yeah.
I've had that exact same thing happen to me. I was dating this guy who I really liked, and I invited him to this cool like show I was doing that was like this 420 house party thing. And like he was supposed to meet me there, and like on the way there he called me and said, you know, I've been seeing this other girl and she wants to be exclusive. And I was just like, okay. And it was like such a fun night. Like the party. I mean, I didn't have fun, but it was such a cool event that I was like, yeah. Wow, I really wish this guy was here. This sucks.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Awful.
But he did get all up in my DMs after that, so
there you go.
Yeah, but it's just it's fucking the worst. It's the worst feeling ever when you like somebody.
It's a gut punch, and like it's so shitty. And all you can really do, I mean, I think you have to triage the situation. Like immediately, I would just, you know, go the ice cream and edibles route for a few days. But once you get through that phase, I mean, you just have to like process it and be sad about it and just know that it's going to pass, and it will. I mean, it will. It fucking sucks, but yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like you're communicating with them anymore. If you are, I would stop that. Don't try to like keep that going. Just cut it off. That's not going to be helpful. Yeah.
When I try to get over someone, one of the first things I do is definitely comfort eating. But number two, I make sure I spend a lot of time with my friends who will tell me I'm awesome and that person is trash. Like, I just say, even if you know that, like, the way they treated you is trash, you probably still pine for them. So hearing people you trust tell you are awesome, you're going to bounce back, this other person doesn't matter, et cetera, really helps for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really good advice.
Lean on your friends right now, because that's, you know, what friends are there for.
Yeah.
Like, I think it can be, people can isolate in these kind of situations, and you need to, like, I get doing that a little bit, but you need to also press against that instinct a bit, you know, and try to, like, reach out, because it's really important to, like, just talk. Just talking to people fucking helps, you know?
Yeah. I think there's, like, a fake it till you make it element, too, of just, like, go through motions of, like, these are the more that you are, like, out and doing things, it will get easier, too.
Yeah.
And, like, break a sweat. Do some kind of, like, a workout. Go outside. Go for a walk or a hike or something like that. Mm-hmm. Make yourself do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, I would say if you still want to be in the apps and stuff, go for it. I would look at it as like a chance to not necessarily find someone else immediately, but to show you like, oh, there are other people out there. Get some attention, flirt mm-hmm. a little bit. It doesn't need to be some big thing.
Yeah.
But just kind of like getting this guy out of your head. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because that's the hardest part when you actually like somebody is the odds of really liking someone are slim, you know? So in your head, you're like, I will never find anyone like this ever again. And that's not true. You know, there are other people out there for you, but you might have to remind yourself of that.
I know. And I know like every therapist or like mental health professional would be like, don't just rebound with someone. But I'm going to be honest. I am a proponent of the best way to get over someone is to get under someone. I mean, I feel like sometimes the palate cleanser can go a long
way. It can work. It just depends on like what state, you know, you're
in. Yeah. And how you're built. Yeah. I would say, you know, when I pine for someone and then they're cut off from me, it is almost like an addiction where I have to like break the habit of thinking about them, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I used to do is if I found myself thinking about this person that's not in my life anymore, I would think of something kind of productive or constructive as an alternative habit. Like the way people who are trying to stop smoking like snap like a rubber band around their wrist, you know?
Yeah.
Like, totally. Yeah. So I would be like, not gonna lie, like one time I was so heartbroken, I literally bought a bunch of self-help books and was just like, every time I think about this person, I'm just gonna open up, I'm gonna crack open a self-help book. I'm just gonna see what it says. The way that like, you know, like evangelical Christians crack open a Bible. Right. Yeah. It's like, totally. let me see what God tells me. You know, like that's what I would do. I would just literally open a page and then I would start reading and eventually I'll get to something that's like helpful for me. You know, it's like soothing.
Yeah. I saw somebody on Twitter, or I can't remember, it was a comic who said this, I can't remember who, but they were like, I've, you know, stopped going on Twitter and every time I have the instinct or when I do go on and I like remind myself, I just stop and I go on Duolingo instead and like do a lesson, you know? And so like it is a good way to retrain yourself away from things that are negative for you, you know?
I much love more that.
Productive use of your time too, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get some roller skates, take a pottery, you know, make a little jar. Like
make a jar and then draw his face on and smash.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like at some point, like truly, it's really hard though. But like, I used to just be in and out of relationships that were probably shouldn't have lasted that long because I wanted to make them work. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I thought I knew that I was like, oh, if I was single, I'd be okay because I wasn't like just, you know, one after the other. Mm-hmm. But in the end, it was truly like I had to have an attitude shift to being like, wow, I truly must prioritize my self-worth and happiness over any relationship that is less than stellar. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's, I remember just being so accommodating to different people. And then at some point I was just like, no, actually I much more enjoy being alone and in my own company than being with someone who's just like not good for me. Mm-hmm. You know, that helped a lot to really try to own that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the best, like, in a way, gift that you can give to like your future coupled up self is to like enjoy your alone time. Because once you do get coupled up, you're not going to have your own place probably. And you're not, you know, like enjoy those kind of liberties that you have right now. Cause who knows when you're going to get into something. And also that will give you the kind of like security in the relationship because it's going to come from like a healthy place of like you're choosing to be in it and not the more like codependent place of like, I don't know what I'll do without this person.
Yeah. Totally.
Absolutely.
You got this.
Yeah, you got this. We've all been there. I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, it sucks, but you've got this and you'll be great. We love you.
Yeah. You'll be swell. You'll be great. Okay, we have one more lady problem.
As a write-in.
Yes. Okay. Hi, ladies. So my boyfriend and I have been in a relationship for almost 4 years, and we've recently stopped having sex. And by recently, I mean it's been 7 months. He's been on antidepressants in that time, and I know that medication affects your sex drive. So he got a prescription from his doctor for some knockoff Viagra, but it didn't work for us. I feel bad because on one hand, I know he's been in a better place with his mental health recently, but I feel like I'm growing distant from him without the intimacy. We went from having sex every time we saw each other to maybe a couple times a month, and now nothing. He made a joke a couple of times that I could have someone on the side, but I don't know how seriously, but I don't know how to seriously approach the topic of maybe having an open relationship with him. I planned on being with this dude forever, but if I don't get fucked soon, I might actually lose my mind. So any and all advice
relatable.
Be appreciated. Thank y'all.
I mean, I would go to a couple's sex therapist, like if you really want to.
Yeah.
You know, well, I think you guys aren't communicating, it sounds like, and that's...
Yeah. Well, and I wonder if he got knockoff Viagra and it didn't work, like, I wonder if he's on a proper dose with his, like, antidepressant stuff, too. Like,
yeah.
Viagra should be fucking
I have
doing
no
it.
Idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's so about, hard because it's, like, not... And it doesn't sound like it's in his control. Like, that's such a hard situation to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have been in a situation where, you know, sex was essentially either non-existent or withheld from me as like a part of the relationship. It was not a healthy relationship. And I like stuck around because we both had just been recently broken up with someone. Mm-hmm. And so we were kind of like a rebound, licking our wounds kind of, but not literally licking, you know what I mean? Like we were just like companions, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And so I trauma accepted bonding. That. Exactly. Yeah. So I accepted that for like a few months. And then I was like, no, I felt myself getting like feeling better. And then I broke it off. Let's just be friends. Mm-hmm. But a year later, it was summer again, and we were, you know, he and I used to play beach volleyball together, and so I had the impulse to play, and I was like, hey, as friends, let's go play, and then we hung out, and then he was like, no, I can't just have you be my friend. I need to be able to date you, and I was like, okay, well, then you're going to have to, like, have sex with me then, because we didn't do that last time.
Yeah.
And
then we did it, and then he was like, oh, okay, and I was like, we did it once, and it was terrible. I was like, oh, there's just something very not okay with you and your body. Like, you don't, you feel really uncomfortable. Like, you can't have sex. Right. Like, so after that, he was mildly emotionally abusive and I got out in a week. But that's it. That's it. It was like a week of me testing that. But I feel like everyone has to know their boundaries. And it's like, if your need is that you need to get fucked, and that sounds like it is, like, I'm sorry. Yeah. Even if you have to leave someone who's just not in a good place, even temporarily, I don't know. You just got to like take care of yourself too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and also it's like, I wonder if his dick just can't get hard, there are like a lot of other things you can do up until the point of like penis and vagina sex.
Yeah,
too,
but
you know
she
what
wants
I mean?
To get fucked.
Right. No, I know, but like if we like focus on foreplay stuff, that will come more. I like wonder what they're like.
That's
you know,
true.
That to right, like yeah, are they doing kind of any? Thing. It sounds like they're not fooling around or anything.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's that's a really good point. And I think it also sounds like that he's gone on the medication, and then that becomes a kind of thing where like there's all this pressure around it, and that can really kind of compound the problem.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and maybe I think vacation is like great for sex. Like go out of town. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, change your routine, I think, is like a really good way to like kind of refine that. And I think you have to be really frank with him of just like this needs to be fixed. Like you know, this is not a sustainable you're not in a romantic relationship.
How about a handy, you know?
Yeah.
Just help me rub it out.
Yeah.
Just to start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. And it's like, is anyone ever, I mean, they haven't had sex in 7 months. That's a really long time, obviously. So I feel like neither one of them's ever trying to initiate anymore, which I think can be a really tough, you know, because then it's like a weird, like, who's going to, you know, there's always that. So I would say try to go for it now since it's been so long, and then like, that can at least open the conversation up again, you know, but.
Or I think like, tell him like, hey, I like, the reason I haven't initiated more is because you've rejected me for 7 months too. Mm. Because I think that's a big part of this too, is that like, if you have at all, he's said no. And like, how often can you fucking hear that in a romantic relationship?
And not take it
kind?
Personally.
Yeah. Mm. Like that shit starts to affect your self-esteem. And then it's like, I know this isn't about me, but like, what the fuck, dude? Like, so like, hey, I want to initiate. You cannot fucking reject me, or you need to like make it like this is why, or like he needs to be more gentle with how he is doing that, if he is or whatever.
Yeah, but I agree. Like a sex therapist, someone
third party.
And I think if he's super resistant to that idea, then I would recommend. I think that you need to maybe give yourself some space. mm-hmm. yeah, in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you guys, you're definitely not being open with each other. So
yeah,
I think like, you know, and if an open thing is something you would be into, then that's something to bring to the conversation, mm-hmm. whether it's with the therapist or not. But like, do you want to be with this guy if you can't be intimate with him, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and I think like, make sure that you're approaching that from a place of like, we're in a healthy place and we want to make like build mm-hmm. on our relationship with other people versus our relationship is like lacking something and this will fix it, you know?
Yeah.
Like
that shit
like,
doesn't fix it. Yeah.
Yeah. No. It can't be a fucking like, you know, plug up a hole in a sinking ship. Like it will not, you know, another person will just bring that boat down faster at that point.
the problem is they're not plugging up holes.
Yes, that is the problem. Yes.
It's, frankly, we wish there was a little more leaks around here, to be honest. Yes.
It's so hard when, like, because antidepressants, they do that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, and then you're trying to help one part, like, great, maybe he's feeling better. Mm-hmm. Oh shit, but we can't fuck anymore. Like it's so difficult.
Yeah, it's the same really shit with birth control where it's like, oh, we can mm-hmm. fuck, but now I get pissed off every third Thursday.
Like, totally.
Yeah.
And I think like also just like the sex you have at like different points in a relationship will feel different too. So it might like be this might just need to be like a little bit more work to like make it happen again too. Yeah. Like you're not going to like be like the first month you were together and you guys just fucked every time you literally saw each other. You know, it's like, maybe it's like you guys are watching what turns him on? Like, is he masturbating at all? Like, is he like watching porn? Is he, has he come in 7 months whatsoever?
Oh my God. I hope so.
There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions. Yeah.
Yeah. And if he has, what is making him come? And like, you know, like what's like, you guys need to have a very frank discussion about like what your sexual needs are, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which is, you know, super easy
fun,
to do.
Awesome. No problem.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, yeah, I think.
I mean, or. Go down mm-hmm. to the gas station, the pills by the register.
Hey. Tiger tail.
Buzz.
Bzz, bzz. Bzz.
Get a little bzz.
Sorry, girl. Hope you get fucked.
Yeah.
Same. If you, also, I don't know how old you are. If you are like young and you aren't like using toys at all at this point, like maybe bringing those in to help him like. To help you get fucked, it might be helpful if he can't get it up or something. I think sometimes people are very like, when you're younger, you're like scared of that stuff, but you know,
right?
Yeah, jump in, experiment.
We're sorry.
We hope you get fucked soon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jenny, this has been so much fun.
This has been the funnest. Are you kidding me? I always enjoy talking to you all.
Where can everybody find you on the internet, and where all your projects are coming out and all that fun stuff?
Oh, wow. I don't know when this... Wait, when is this going to come out?
A couple weeks?
Okay. Yeah. So I will tell you... You can find me online at jennyyang.tv and at jennyyangtv, JennyYangTV for Instagram and Twitter. You know, I don't know. I'm probably going to be doing some shows around Los Angeles. But lately, the news came out. I got cast in this Netflix show called The Brother's Son, and that's been fun. So I've been training.
With Michelle Yeoh. Oh my God.
I know, with Michelle Yeoh. Yeah. So I've been fucking doing stunt training.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I'm going to be fighting and handling guns.
Oh my God.
That's awesome.
So probably should learn some lines, and we're in production right now. So that's what's happening.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations. I'm so excited.
That's so awesome.
Thank
oh my
you.
God.
It's super fun. I play an assassin.
Yes.
Fuck shit. Yes.
That's so fucking awesome.
Oh, that rules. I'm so stoked for you. I haven't been wrecked by a movie since Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh my God.
A long time.
Woo. Michelle Yeoh.
Man.
So fucking
legend.
Good.
Fucking
you have to watch that movie.
Yeah.
I do need to watch it.
Yeah. It's fucking phenomenal.
But Jenny's always crushing it. Go follow her if you're not already, and check out all the stuff she's doing. She's the best.
Aw. Yeah. You're the best.
Aw. All
right, thank guys, you for saying that back. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
3,
two, three. Six but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. First-time caller, long-time listener. I was just listening to your public nap episode. And as a narcoleptic, a person with narcolepsy, I would just want to say I nap everywhere. I have fallen asleep at a KISS concert, fell asleep standing three people away from Metallica, indoor monster trucks. Every time I go to a football game, lots of concerts, movie theaters. Like, I mean, so if you're sleeping everywhere, I want to look into narcolepsy. Just a little hint for you. Have a wonderful day.
Hi, ladies. Love the show. I just listened to the episode, this week about, putting mundane household objects into fancy containers a la mouthwash and laundry detergent. And I totally understand that because I'm at the age now where I take Metamucil every day and I keep it next to my coffee maker on the counter to remind myself. And I just look at this, like, ugly orange container just sitting out on my counter, and I keep thinking, like, I should really find, like, a pretty jar for my Metamucil. So, yeah, anyways, yes, I'm in favor of decorating mundane household objects.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker. Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.